One of the questions that one wonders as you read the Old Testament, which is the lion's share of the Bible, is why it took God so long to get to the point. Why did it take so long for him to send the Savior of mankind into the world, which he promised at the very moment after Adam and Eve fell into sin? He promised that he would place enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And while the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And it seems pretty clear that when the first child of Adam and Eve was born, Cain, they fully expected that this would be the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. And yet, this is the very one who killed his brother Abel. In one generation, away from pristine perfection, you have a murder of a brother. And in the course of that murder, you have God himself talking and witnessing and pastoring Cain. Cain, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to devour you. What Cain needed was standing right in front of him, God himself. What he resented in his brother Abel, God himself was offering to Cain. But Cain could not kill God, and so he did the next best thing. He killed the one who reminded him of God, the image of God in Abel. And thus began the long and tortured history of the human race, as seen in a microcosmic way through the long and tortured history of God's people, Israel. And throughout that history, something we see again and again is that the greatest of men and women, the greatest of the leaders, the wisest, the godliest, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, right on down the line, as great as they were, they all showed that they were captive to the fallenness of mankind. The point of David's sordid tale with Bathsheba and her husband, whom David murdered, along with other soldiers who were out there serving David and Israel in the field. He had them sent up underneath the wall of the city they were besieging, which is where you never go, because if you do, you're susceptible to stones or boiling oil being thrown over the wall. It's a suicide mission. Uriah was sent there together with other men whose name we don't even know. And they were all murdered. Their wives were made widows. Their children were made orphans. All so David could cover his sin with Bathsheba. Now, the point of this is not that David really wasn't the man after God's own heart, which is God's testimony. The point is, David was. And yet this was in his heart. This is what he was capable of, given the right temptation and the right opportunity. And so where does that leave all of the other sons of David? And where does it leave all the rest of us? Now, that is precisely the point of the long and tortured history of Israel, who reached its culmination in the Old Testament with the crucifixion of the Son of God. That is a picture of all of us. And what God was doing through this long and tortured history was preparing the world for the incarnation. Because otherwise the world is not prepared for it. It doesn't make sense. It offends our concept of divinity. God, if there is a God, why would he become one of us? Why would he take on matter? Why would he enter into creation with all that that means? It seems to be beneath our idea of divinity. And that's exactly how the idea of the incarnation was received by the pagan world. It's absurd. God knew that's the way we react, and so he took so long, so many years, so many of those, so many great and godly men and women to show us that in the best of them is this fallenness, the fallenness that would enable Cain to murder his brother, the fallenness that would enable David to commit adultery and kill the husband of the woman and other men. Whoever they are, it doesn't matter. Cover it up. What the early church realized after Christ had raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, and they began to face persecution, and false teachings and heresies began to assault the church. One of them was motivated by this instinct that rebels against the idea of the incarnation. It makes us want to say, look, we can get this and it makes sense to us if you want to say that Jesus is God and appeared to be a man. Just like angels in the Old Testament would sometimes appear to be human. We can get that. It makes sense. Or we can get that Jesus is a man who is so tremendously godly and godlike that he really seems to kind of take on godness or take on divinity in a certain way of speaking. We can get that. What we cannot get is the Creator God entering into the creation, becoming part of the creation, becoming one of us so that he can go to the cross. Because we wouldn't do it. But the early church came to realize that unless Jesus is fully God, and unless he is fully man, as it says in Hebrews, like us in every way except for sin, he cannot save us at all. And it is only when God has brought us to that point in the Bible that we're ready. We're ready for this crazy miracle called the incarnation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.